Okay, I would like for some member of the mission team to tell us a very quick story about something that God did this week. Somebody? No time to be shy.
I've never been accused of being shy, but God worked this week in Memphis, and one of the stories Pastor Harlan told us was this lady had been watching the war room, and she was praying that God send, make him reveal himself to her. And she had watched it the night before, and she was praying that morning, and she opened her door, and she saw our vans drive by, and she ran to meet us. And there was people that were looking for Jesus. One of them said that they had been praying for 2 years for somebody to come and share Jesus with them. So there are people out there just waiting to hear. And what a blessing it was to go and to be able to share with those who were so hungry and just wanted Jesus so bad. People would come up to you and they were crying because they wanted Jesus. We don't know that here, but they know it there.
Amen. Thank you, Michael. All right. Thank you. Anybody else? Very quickly.
I talked maybe on Wednesday night with a 16-year-old girl named Ebony, and I said, you know what we're doing out here? Helping the community. And we got a lot of that. And I said, sure, but that's not why we're here. That's not why we drove here. We are just here to tell people about Jesus, and apart from Him, none of us get heaven, none of us have a chance. And she said, okay, like, let me have some more of this. And she said her grandma and her aunt were Jehovah's Witnesses. And a lot of what they said made sense to her. But she said, I knew there was more about that Jesus than they knew. And I shared with her that He was, I mean, He's the Son of God. He's God Himself. And just who Jesus is and what He's done for me. And she prayed to receive Christ that night. So I'm thankful for Ebony.
Amen. God is good. All right, one more. Very quickly. All right. We're going to move on then. We will hear some more testimonies tonight about what God did this week. And if there was anything good, it was God. It wasn't us. But we're thankful to be able to be used by God. And, you know, sometimes we look at a place like Memphis and just kind of shake our head because the need is so great. But, folks, that's exactly why we need to be there. And the need is so great. Well, turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to look at a text, and I'm just going to talk a little bit about some of the things that we learned this week in Memphis and some of the things that God's, you know, trying to show us and to build into us. Second Corinthians chapter 5. And I want us to begin reading in verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, if you found your place and you're able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's holy word? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. We persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the power that is present within it to change lives, to save souls, to turn people's eternity around. And Father, you've done that for many of us. If there's even one here today that you haven't touched and they're not saved, Father, would you speak to their heart? Would you help them to humble themselves and to receive you? And Father, I thank you for all those who were saved this week. But, oh Lord, the need is so great. I pray you would break our hearts for the lost people all around us, for our friends, our family members, people we work with, people in our neighborhood, or people we see all the time, people we don't get along with. God, break our hearts for people here at home, people in Memphis, people around the world. God, put people on our hearts and break our hearts over what breaks your heart, Lord. And God, we just thank you and praise you for who you are. And we pray that you would lift up and exalt the name of Jesus in this moment, in this time. Oh, Father, draw us to the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, you know, Paul gives us here a great thought. And it is that every single one of us is going to stand before God. And, you know, this week I was able to look into the eyes of young people and precious, you know, souls and just say to them, you know, 12-year-olds, 16-year-olds, 30, whatever. And, you know, and say, you know, I don't know how long you're going to live on this earth. But one of these days you're going to stand before God. You're going to give an account. And that's going to happen. Whether you're ready for it or not, whether you believe it or not, it's going to come. It's going to happen. And so Paul says we are all going to stand before the Lord. We must all appear before the tribunal of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. And as believers, you know, there's no condemnation now to those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. If you're saved, you're saved. Your sins are under the blood of the Lamb. And that means the sins you committed in the past, the sins you've committed today, and the sins you'll commit tomorrow. It's under the blood of Jesus Christ. It's washed away. Your sins have been judged at the cross of Calvary. They're not there anymore. God says, I don't see that anymore. And instead, He's given us His righteousness. That's what verse 21 in this chapter says, that God made Him who knew no sin to become sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. But as believers, we will stand before Christ and we will answer. And part of what we will answer for is, what did we do with the gifts and the talents and the abilities, the resources, the time that God gave us? You know, we've been commissioned, we've been commanded, we've been given a job to do. And let me just suggest to you this morning, because this is one of the lessons that I'm taking from this week, that evangelism and missions is our work. It's what we do. And there's a you know, in seminary and talking to ministers and different folks, there's a big debate about, well, which is more important, worshiping God or evangelizing, telling people about Jesus? Which is more important? Well, I don't think you can, you know, define that. I don't think you can say which one is more important. But I think one thing you can say is one of the greatest ways we worship God is we get out there and tell others about Him. Worship is not a song we sing. Worship is not 20 minutes on Sunday morning. Worship is living our life for Jesus Christ. It's giving everything that we are. It's giving all to Him. It's praising Him and telling others about Him. It's what we do. And so, you know, one of the sweetest times that we experienced this week was in the devotional times with Brother Ronnie every morning. And he'd preach and teach and do, you know, you know, man, it was a blessing. It was a joy other than the whole, you know, interstate barbecue fiasco. That kind of, you'll hear more about that, I'm sure. And if he comes, you know, don't believe a word he says about that. Okay? So, anyway. Well, here's what we do. We tell people about Jesus Christ. And it's amazing to me that there are people in churches. There's people sitting in church this morning who are as lost as a ball in high weeds. And they're not going to hear anything in church today that will help them to understand they're lost or to understand how to be saved. God, deliver us from preachers and pastors and teachers who will not focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the only thing that saves. And that's the reason America is in the trouble we're in today, is because we haven't been preaching the gospel. If we had saved school teachers, and if we had saved senators, and if we had saved mayors, and we had saved, and I'm not reflecting on any of our present, okay? We do have some saved ones, thank the Lord. But if we had some saved preachers, y'all know what I'm saying? I mean, I've heard of some preachers that got saved. I bet it helped their preaching considerably. We just need to be focused on the gospel. And, you know, that's what we're here for. That's what we do. God's put us here together in a community because, frankly, we're not able to do this by ourselves. You know, you can set out on a crusade to win the world, but guess what? You're not going to be able to do it by yourself. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen because the people of God come together. We join together. This week we had our team from our church. We had 26, I think, that went. We took 9 from First Baptist Paris, which was the first time that they had gone, and they loved it. They had a ball. Some of them were already talking about coming back next year. And then we had 15 or 16 from Victory Baptist, Chris's church, in down near Dumas. And so there was, you know, almost, there was probably around 50 of us. And then a few more volunteers from right there close in Memphis that came and went out with us. Man, that was great, but it took us all. We were in one complex, over 900 units, 50 acres. 50 acres. And people everywhere. You know, we had a big team, really. And some nights we almost had too many, but boy, that day we could have used more covering that big old place. Well, it takes us working together. But that's why God's put us here. People say, well, I don't know what the big deal is about church. I can worship God just as... Yes. I know. You can worship God on the creek bank. You can worship Him on the mountain. You can worship Him at the lake. Yes, I understand that. But what you can't do is you can't join your heart together with other believers and pray and worship and learn and grow and become the body of Christ that can reach the world that you live in. And then we wonder why the world's going to hell. We wonder why there's so much corruption and evil and problems and issues in our culture and drugs and violence and all the things that happen. Well, it's because the church is not being the church today. And when the church is the church, we're salt and we're light in this world. And we are not going to be able to get into our little holy huddle and protect ourselves from the world. We were never meant to. Instead, we're to infect this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're to get out there and tell them, to live it, to show them. One of the scriptures that Brother Ronnie shared with us this week is from Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 16. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 16. I want you to hear it. You don't have to look it up, but I want you to hear it. It says, "And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. You see, part of what God has done is he's put us here to be watchmen. We're watchmen. We're watchmen on the wall. We're here to keep watch. You say, well, how can we do that, or why should we do that? Well, it's because we've been given the truth. We've been given the gospel. We have Jesus in our hearts and our minds, and now we have the opportunity to share that. You know, as far as I know, I believe every one of the young people who went with us this week was not only able to share the gospel, but was able to pray with someone and lead them to Christ. Well, that's an awesome thing. But the Bible tells us that we're to warn people. And look, you don't have to be some kind of crazed lunatic, to do it. You don't have to be some weird preacher. My dad always said preachers are a strange lot. My dad. What can I say? It was actually before I was a preacher, so, you know, but anyway. I don't guess it's anything to dispel that, but anyway. We're called to be watchmen. We have a responsibility. You know, when that watchman's on the wall, he's responsible for the well-being of all of his people. And if an enemy comes and he does not warn them, he is going to be the one. You know, Brother Ronnie shared, he said, you know in the old days, the enemy would come and attack. If the watchman didn't give the warning, if they were asleep or if whatever happened, they didn't warn the people and the enemy came in and took the city, they wouldn't kill that watchman. They would take that watchman and they would give him the job of going and dragging all the bodies. Pulling all the bodies of his friends, of his loved ones, of his own children. Gathering them all up. Well, folks, you and I are going to stand before the Lord one day. If you're saved, you're saved. I don't have any doubt about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It tells us we're going to stand before the Lord. Our works are going to be tried, yet so is by fire. But even those whose works are consumed, it says, yet he himself shall be saved. But I believe we're going to answer for our silence. We're going to answer for our apathy. We're going to answer for doing absolutely nothing while the world around us was dying and going to hell without Christ. We have an opportunity. And you say, well, I don't know, preacher. I'm not much on talking. I don't know what to say. I don't know enough. Let me just say to you, if you've been saved, you know enough. You don't have to know all the answers. You don't have to answer all the questions people have. You just tell them. Say, look, I don't know. I don't know, but here's what I do know. Jesus Christ came into my heart, my life, and He changed me. And He saved me. He forgave my sin. And man, I have peace with God now. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. See, you don't have to be a theological genius to be able to share what God has done in your heart. Well, I want to encourage you. We need to begin to talk and to share Christ. We need to begin to give that word for people and let them know. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And man, this week we saw people coming to Christ. I talked with two men, and they were out there, and Bryant and Larry were their names. They told me they were brothers. And so I began talking to them, and I asked Bryant, I said, well, you know, if you were going to sign a number, you know, we've done this before, Brother Ronnie's done this, if you're going to sign a number from 0 to 100, with 0 being, if I died today, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I would go to hell. No doubt about it. With 100 being, if I died today, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I would go to heaven. Where would you be on that scale? Bryant looked at me and said, well, I'd be in the 70s somewhere. 70s. I said, that's pretty good, man. 70s, yeah. How about you, Larry? Larry looked at me and he said, well, I'd be 90s, somewhere in there. I said, that's pretty good, man. That's pretty good, Larry. 90%. I said, but then what you're telling me, though, is that you got a 30% chance, Bryant, that you're going to hell. And Larry, you got a 10% chance that you're going to hell. Are you okay with that? No. And suddenly the conversation took a more serious turn. I mean, suddenly their eyes were locked on mine. Suddenly they were listening and began to share the gospel with those guys, and both of them gave their hearts to Christ. You say, well, yeah, but you're a preacher. Well, I'm going to tell you, sharing Christ is one beggar telling another beggar where there's bread. That's all it is. I want to encourage you. You can do this. You don't have to have a theological degree. You don't have to have some big training. If you have a love for Jesus Christ and a willingness in your heart, God will use you to be a witness for Him. I want to encourage you to do that. And just to say that the power of the gospel is in, it's in the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, through the gospel itself. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts as we share. The Holy Spirit works in the heart of that lost person as they hear. And without that, it doesn't happen. And so when you say, well, but I'd like to, I really would, preacher. What you're telling me is you don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't believe in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, you can tell me all day long what you believe, but what you do tells me what you really believe. I can say, oh man, I want to see people saved. I'm so concerned about lost people, and I know they're going to hell, and but then if I don't lift my little finger, what do I really believe? Well, it's not what my mouth is saying. Somewhere along the line, there's a disconnect. And you may say, well, but Pastor, you don't understand. I mean, not all of us can go to Memphis. Yeah, I realize that. We had a girl from Hoax Bluff, Alabama a few years back who came with their group. And she was a little midget girl. She was about this tall. And I'll never forget watching her out there on the street corner in Memphis telling an 18, 20-year-old man about Jesus, looking up at him, and he was looking down at her. And she led that guy to Christ on the street corner out there. Yeah, I know, we can't all do it. But I think you'd be surprised at what God can do when you let Him. When you just give Him freedom in your life, I think you'd be surprised. I think we would be shocked. You know, in this room right here, just in this room, God could turn this world upside down. In fact, if God just got a hold of a couple of us, You know, D.L. Moody said, the world has never seen a man whose heart is totally given over to the Lord. But he said, I want to be that man. That's what we need today. We need God to put it on our heart to just, you know, it's like that little lady who watched the War Room movie. And she got so excited and she got so convicted. She said, I'm going to do this. And the next morning she started working and you know, getting ready. And she thought, well, I need a place to pray like that. You know, in the movie, the lady has a prayer room. Y'all seen War Room? This is yes. This is no. Anyway. All right. If you haven't, you need to. Great message. But the lady started cleaning, finally found one of her closets. She said, I'm going to do it right here. She cleaned out the closet. She made herself a prayer room, a war room. And then she said, Lord, I don't know what to do next. I don't know what to do now. Lord, you're going to have to show me. You're going to have to reveal yourself to me. And that's when she looked out her window, opened her door, and here come our church bands. Now, the significant part about that is not that just that we were pulling in, but this was in a fairly small apartment complex, and it was probably 20% occupied. And it's probably about to be condemned. It was the worst place that we went to, and probably one of the worst I've ever been in Memphis. I mean, they had a water leak, they had a bunch of stuff dug up and water, and they had windows broken, and all kind of, you know, grass hadn't been mowed in 2 months, and yet you got people here living in the midst of that. And they told us, they said, you know, a lot of times church vans will pull in here and they'll take a look at it and they'll see the bullet holes and they'll turn right around and go back out. They said, y'all are the first ones who've actually come in here to do anything. You're the first ones who was willing to come. And man, that woman was just hugging everybody's neck. She was so excited because God had just revealed Himself to her. He used us. It wasn't us. It was just God. But it's pretty humbling to be used. God wants to use you. You know what? Chances are in your life there's somebody who's praying for an answer. There's somebody who's praying for help. There's somebody who's looking and praying and asking God if He's real. And He's waiting for somebody to show Him and to let them know, yes, there is a God in heaven. I want to encourage you this morning. Before you write me off, well, yeah, preacher, you had another mission trip. He's all pumped up. Fired up. He'll get over it. Before you write me off, I want to encourage you to check your heart. I want to encourage you to check your heart because we may not have the kind of spiritual brokenness and need that exists in Memphis. And it's there because people know they need something. Here, people think they've got it all together. They think their life's fine. They don't need God. Well, that's not true. It's not true at all. But folks, they're not going to begin to see it and believe it until we begin to live it. Until we begin to get out and knock on their door. Say, hey, we're from the Baptist Church over here and we just wanted to come and see if there's anything we could pray for you about. See if there's anything we can do for your family. We wanted to give you an invite to our Loving Branch Day or whatever it may be. I mean, I promise you, there are doors in our community, there are families in our community. They've never been visited by any church. There's nobody out there. Who's going to go? if it's not us? Who's going to be the one? Well, I want to encourage you. And the neat part about it is that God's put us here together. And He's given us this job together. So, as we think about what Paul wrote, he said, because we know the terror of the Lord. Well, if you're saved, we don't live in terror of the Lord. But we do have a very healthy respect and reverence for Him. And yes, a fear of Him. Because we know we don't have to be afraid of the devil. We don't have to be afraid of the gangster disciples. We don't have to be afraid of anybody in this world except God. Jesus said, don't fear the one who can destroy your body. Fear the one who can destroy both your soul and your body in hell. And that's God. So this morning, I want to call you to realize that we're accountable. We've been given a job to do. And we've not been exempted from it on the basis of, well, I'm not, you know, the brightest bulb in the box or whatever we may come up with. Well, I can't talk or I can't do that. I can't. That's what Moses said. Remember? Moses started making excuses. God said, throw down your stick, Moses. Moses threw down his stick and it became a snake. And Moses ran from it. You know, I've got a feeling it wasn't just a snake. I'm figuring it was a cobra or something, you know? I mean, I think the Lord was making a point here. I think there's some of us, we need to take whatever's in our hand and we need to throw it down. And we need to see what God will do. We need to see what God can do. You know, this week, we're going to have some opportunities. I want to invite you this week to just join God in what He's doing in this area, in this community, your community. Let's bow our heads. So right now, here's a couple of thoughts. One is, where are you at on that scale? Where are you at on that scale of being sure of heaven? If you died today, with zero being, I would go straight to hell, and 100 being, I would absolutely go to heaven. What's your number? What's your number? And I want to suggest to you, if your number is not 100, then you need to make sure of your salvation. You need to settle it. And some of you may say, well, I know I need to be saved. Well, that's fine then. Let's settle it. Do whatever you need to do. And I don't say that to stir you up, to make you doubt your salvation. But if your salvation can be stirred up, if you can be caused to doubt and wonder just by something like that, you need to be stirred up a little bit. Examine yourself, Paul said. See if you're in the faith. And if there's doubt, you might say, well, but preacher, I'm a Sunday school teacher. Doesn't matter. Preacher, I went on a mission trip. Doesn't matter. Preacher, I'm this or that. None of that matters. All that matters is that you have an assurance in your heart. If you die today, you're going to heaven. So I want to invite you this morning to take care of that, to answer that. And here's a way you can do that right now, right there in your heart. Would you call on the name of the Lord? Would you say to Him, if this is you and you know in your heart, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you need Him. Or you're so unsure of your salvation that you need to clear it up, then you pray and say something like this. Say, dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And today I receive You. Come into my life. Forgive me, Lord Jesus, of all my sins. Lord, I believe You died for me. And I receive You by faith today. Save me, Lord Jesus. Now You tell Him what's in your heart. It's not certain words you pray. It's the attitude of your heart. It's the faith in your heart. That's turning from yourself and your sin, and you're turning to Jesus Christ, and you're trusting Him with everything. If that's you, do it. Put all your weight, all your hope, all your trust, all your faith in Him. And then Christian, there's some Christians here. You've been a Christian for a lot of years, maybe. And yet, frankly, reaching lost people, sharing the gospel, the life-changing power of God with people hasn't been on your radar. You just haven't really been tuned into that. I want to invite you this morning to turn from that attitude and turn from that way of thinking to Christ. And Christian, this altar is here. If you need to come and get that right, do it. You can make an altar where you are. You can pray from your seat. Whatever you need to do, though, you do it. If the Holy Spirit prompts you, don't quench the Holy Spirit this morning. Allow Him to work. And Christian, there may be something in your life that's keeping you from being that witness you need to be. There's sin in your life you need to get right. You need to get right with God. Father, I pray for every person in the room. And I pray You'll give grace, Lord, to anyone who just prayed that prayer to receive You, or give them grace to confess You now, to openly share that with others. Father, for Christians here, give them grace and give them courage to get right with You, no matter what that takes. And Lord, we just want to see lost people in our community saved. We want to see our family members, our friends, our loved ones come to know You. Lord, break our hearts. Break our hearts, Lord.